You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad that you have joined us today. I am back with my amazing co-host, Abby Ranella, also known as Abanella. Abanella. And we are really excited about this episode because we are going to start doing something new on occasion where we get to just answer your questions about homeschooling. And so we would love for you guys to send us your questions. You can actually send them in to podcast@schoolhouserocked.com and let us know what things you're thinking about. You know, what is stressing you out? What are some of your joys of homeschooling? What things are you thinking about and wondering that we can help answer and just be able to encourage you in your homeschool journey? So Abby, welcome.
Hey, thanks. It's exciting to be here.
I know.
I love doing the questions. So when you guys send in questions, it can even be like, I don't know, I even like how do you juggle meals and homeschool? Let's talk about all of it, homeschool moms. Let's talk about all the questions.
Yes. Well, homeschooling is life. And
it is life.
Life is homeschooling. When you're a homeschool family, it's really hard to separate the two. And so, yes, I mean, talking
it's
about
all just, relevant,
right? How to
absolutely
figure it all out. And so we've been putting it out on social media and asking for some questions, and we've gotten some questions from you guys, which is really exciting. And so we are excited today to just be able to kind of sort through some of these and answer some of your questions to really help you in your journey of homeschooling. I mean, it's really the ministry that God has put on my heart and on Abby's heart. Mm-hmm. And so it is our absolute pleasure to be able to do this.
Yes. And we, what's so awesome is that we have had the total blessing and privilege to speak to some of the experts. I mean, we have the blessing during this podcast to talk to those that have been there. They have walked through it. And so we have gained so much wisdom from those that have gone before us. So we really want to share all that wisdom with you. So this is not just our opinions and our wisdom. It's from those that have gone before us and things that we've learned, sometimes even the hard way.
Yeah, that's right. And as much as we can, we, of course, will always take you to the Word of God, because that is
absolutely
the most important thing. And that is where all of our answers are for today. You know, whenever we're asking about something having to do with family or parenting or homeschooling, God's Word is full of answers and wisdom. And so as much as we can, we will take you there. And then we will also share our experiences and maybe if there's a question, we can point you to one of the previous podcast episodes that we've done. And if we don't know the answer, we'll just make it up. Right, Abby?
We'll tell you if we're doing that.
Just kidding. We'll try not to make up any answers. No. We would never do that.
Never.
So let's just jump into it and see. Let's just see where this goes. Abby and I, we've looked at these questions, but we have not actually talked about how we're going to answer them. So it's always fun, actually, for me also to see how Abby answers questions and how I answer them separately. So the first one, this parent is asking about homeschooling through the summertime. And do you keep going or do you break for the entire summer? And I know that that's a question that gets asked oftentimes. We often talk about year-round schooling, which a lot of people do. I'll answer for our family and then I'll let Abby answer for hers. For summertime, it's been different for us. I think every year last summer we were gone the entire summer. We took a 3-month trip around the country to finish filming Schoolhouse Rocked. And so while we didn't do any book work, we were traveling. We traveled to, I think during that trip, I think we hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 or 19 different states.
Wow.
Which was amazing. And we got to see Mount Rushmore and we got to see the Grand Canyon and we got to see all kinds of other cool places along the way. And so while that wasn't bookwork homeschooling, that was still homeschooling really at its best, was getting to just experience God's creation. And so that was last summer. Summers before, we've done some different things. This summer looks different because we spent a very good part of the year planning for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. And that was not something that we had planned to do. It just kind of fell in our laps, and God just said, this is what you're going to do. But while we were in the planning phase of that, it was really hard for me to spend a lot of time with my girls one-on-one. So they did a lot of their book work and schooling stuff on their own. But the stuff that they really needed me for, even though we were together, I just didn't have as much of myself to pour into them. And so that's kind of carried into our summertime. And so my girls have a list, and my youngest daughter, she's 9. And so her list is much smaller than my 14-year-old who's going into high school, who she just has some other things that we really wanted to get done this past year, but we couldn't, and that was okay. And so we're kind of working through the summer to do those things, but it's not as rigorous as it would typically be during a traditional school year, because it's summertime and we are going to the beach and we're going to the pool and we're doing things with friends, and it's just hot. My girls want to get outside. And so, you know, it just looks different for us each summer. And you know, we get to do what works best for our families. So how about you, Abby? Yes. What do you guys do for summertime?
Well, I love that the freedom that we have with homeschool is that we can take it summer by summer and do what's best for our family. And so it looks different for every family. So the family that the question is, you know, what do you do? I think what I would say is do what works best for your family. My funny story is I got so excited about year-round school one year, like absolutely fired up. Like I wrote a blog post even on how just academically it's so good because you can slow down the rest of the year and spread it out. You don't have to cram it all into the 9 months, how it helps your kids retain things so that you don't have that big 3 month gap. I mean, I gave all the positive reasons for it and was so excited for it. And then the first day of June came and everybody was outside and I was like, that's it. We're not doing it year round.
Did you take the blog post down at least?
It was a terrible idea for us. But here's the thing. It's an incredible, like, I just think if I lived in somewhere like Florida, that the weather was year round the same, I'd be like, let's do it year round. But I live in a place where it is like tons and tons of snow all year. And you have 3 months of summer. You literally have 3 months of summer. So that was a terrible idea because we only have that amount of time that we can go outside without snow. So for us, it was awful. But I think there are some incredible benefits to keep going all through the summer. But you got to do what's best for your family. You've got to do what's best for your kids. It does allow you to say, hey, my kids are cracking in February. Let's take February off and we can go more into June. Or maybe when it's really hot, we come in the AC in August. But I think you need to do what's best for your family. But like Yvette said, if life is learning, which it is, homeschool is not just the textbooks, then you're learning all the time. So don't feel like we only homeschool, you know, September through May, because you're always learning. So do trips in the summer if you're not doing book work. There's so much you can do. So as far as what we do a traditional school year because that works what's best for our climate, our weather, my mental health, Yeah, it also seems like that's what all the other homeschoolers in our world are doing. So it allows us to do the extracurriculars with them in the summer where, you know, so do what's best for you and what works for you. There's pros and cons to both. There are truly pros and cons to both. So,
yeah. And I think being gracious with your kids as well, because especially if it's summertime and their friends are out doing things,
yeah,
or if they play with neighborhood kids and the kids are outside, if you're requiring your child to sit at the table and do bookwork, they're probably not going to learn very effectively.
No.
Because all they can think about is how badly they want to be outside riding their bike or playing in the water or swimming, right, or doing all those other things. So, you know, right, maybe that might look like them getting that out of their system, swimming when it's hot, and then maybe doing some school in the evening, or right, maybe getting up earlier. If you're a morning family, you know, get up earlier and maybe get some schoolwork done in the morning, and then you can do more in the evening. You can break it up. But I think, right, being aware of yep, our children and what it is that they're desiring, not that it's a child-based learning, you know, you're
right,
the mom,
but
you're
what
the dad.
But what works best for their academic,
right,
achievement,
right,
you know, what
right,
works best for them to learn.
Right, right.
It, yeah.
You know, during a typical school year, children, for the most part, you know, they want to spend time outside, but they're not thinking, well, I'm sitting in here doing schoolwork while all my friends are outside playing.
Right.
So
right.
I think we need to be aware of that as well.
And it really comes back to the same thing we're always saying is don't be a slave to your curriculum. Don't be a slave to your curriculum at all. Don't let your curriculum tell you what months you have to do it, how many hours a day.
Right.
You know, be in tune with your children. See what works best with them. You know, maybe some kids do better in the summer because they're outside for half the day. So I wish we could tell you the right answer, but in this one, there's not. Do what's best. And it could look different, like Yvette said, every single summer.
Yep.
So
it just depends.
No, I didn't take the blog post down, I don't think, because I'm still passionate about year-round school. I'm just not going to do it.
Right. I'm sure it is a fantastic blog post.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton, daughter of the host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Do you love this show? Then stop listening. That's right. Pause the show right now and go leave a review on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Let others know how much you love it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Did you do it? Great. Now back to the show.
This next one says, how do I plan for a new school year? And I love this question because one of the things that I have found for myself is I started doing this probably 6 years ago or so, is, and it, I know this is not possible for everyone, so let me just say that. But for myself, what I did for many summers, and I haven't the last couple just because we've been traveling and stuff, but I would take a couple of days away and I would go somewhere, whether it was a hotel or a friend's cabin or a retreat center somewhere. It was always somewhere that was free or really, really inexpensive. And I would go by myself and I would just take time away and spend time with the Lord. I would pray and I would take all of my homeschool stuff, all of my curriculum. I would maybe take a couple of books, homeschool books or whatever. And I would just take just kind of a pile of stuff. I knew I wouldn't get through all of it, but I would get to just go be by myself. And it was so amazing just how refreshed I felt when I had a chance to do that. And I could just kind of clear my mind and think through, okay, what do I want this next year to look like for my girls? And right. I loved doing that. And it was so, and just, it filled me up as a homeschool mom to be able to do that. And Garrett was so gracious because he would always let me do that. You know, we would, if he was working, I would, you know, they would go to grandma and grandpa's house or wherever. And it was great. And if you can't go, you know, I would usually do like 2 or 3 nights away, depending on what our situation was at the time. But at least 2 nights away. If you're not in a situation where you can do that, you know, maybe you can just take a whole day away and then, you know, be home at nighttime. And maybe you can even switch with a friend. You take your friend's kids, you know, maybe Monday and Tuesday of that week, and let her just have her time by herself to go to a coffee shop. Or maybe she wants to be home in the comfort of her own home, or she has all of her school stuff. And then she'll take your kids for, you know, a couple of days that week or the next week or whatever. And just find time that you can kind of get away from your family and be able to just clearly think through what you want for the next year and the direction that you feel like the Lord is leading you for that year. So how about you, Abby?
Yeah, that's good. I've never done that. That sounds amazing. I love listening to other homeschool moms because we're all so different. And that's what is such a beautiful thing, is because every family's different and we all are different. I've never done that. I would say to plan for a new school year, for me, I don't ever do. So many moms do it in May. I cannot tell you how many moms I hear that planned their new school year just a few weeks ago or now in June. And I can't do that. I need to clear my head for a month. I need to finish up this year. I need to put everything away. I need to walk away from it all. And then usually in July, I sit down. And because otherwise, I'm over it in May. Like, I am over it. If I plan my school year in May, I'm like, we're doing nothing for the whole year. But by July, I've had a break and I get really excited again. I that excitement for the new school year comes back. So I always give myself a break between the two school years. Mm-hmm. And then I start planning. I don't do the 3 days. That's amazing. I've never thought of doing that. But for me, I think I'd get overwhelmed spending 3 whole days by myself thinking about school. I'm not sure. I do a little bit here and there and a little bit here and there. And I also don't plan a whole year. I have never in my life planned a whole year. Mm-hmm. My temperament is that I am a slave to plans. I love to plan. It's like a hobby of mine. I love to get out color-coded things and plan. And then I tend to become a slave to a plan if I allow it. So if I planned for a whole year, I would start to feel anxious that I wasn't getting the plan done. And so I've learned I can't do that because I need to allow myself to not be a slave to my plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So for me, I in general know what we're going to do for the year. And then I plan week by week or 2 weeks by 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then that forces me, if something comes up, I don't feel like I'm going to derail the entire year's plan, because I just know myself. I wouldn't allow anything to come up for a whole year because I'd feel like it would mess up my color-coded system for the year. So I don't let myself plan for a whole year, even though I would love to. That sounds like the best time ever to spend 3 days planning.
Let me clarify. I'm sorry.
You don't plan the whole year?
I have been unclear, apparently.
You just plan the year.
I plan for the year. I don't plan out the year.
Okay.
I absolutely.
A lot of moms do plan out the whole year.
I did that. I think 1 year, or I tried to. I didn't do the whole year, but I tried to plan out. I had a schedule of this is what every day is going to look like. And it lasted like an hour. And that was
right. But then you feel like a failure. So
it works for
some moms, where if you do that, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. And that works for you. So do it. It doesn't.
Yes.
Work for me.
It does not work for me either. So no. I do not plan out my year. I just plan like what curriculum
I'm
planning to use. And that often changes throughout the year, too. This year we started with one history curriculum. And by October, I had switched to another one that I felt like was going to work better for us this year. And it has worked better for us. So I don't plan out. I don't plan for the year. I kind of curriculum plan. But I also, in that those few days away, I do not do homeschool planning.
All the planning.
It's not 2 or 3 days of homeschool thought and planning. It is 2 or 3 days of sleeping. One year I literally slept till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, I think it was that first day and I was so just exhausted and I didn't have anybody waking me up. It was amazing. So I just slept.
So it's just a homeschool mom retreat and it gets you refocused.
Yes, that's right.
It gets you refocused. What didn't work last year, what should work this.
Yep.
And I think that's important to look back and say, okay, not necessarily plan day by day, but you know, what didn't work? What could we do better?
Right.
What
kind of goal setting, I should say.
There you go.
It's more of a goal setting time. But it really is just a retreat for me to just refresh myself.
I want to do that. I'm doing it.
I will take a box of Cocoa Puffs with me because
that is
my favorite cereal. So I'll take a box of Cocoa Puffs and some milk and whatever. And, you know, I won't eat that for every meal. But, I just kind of, I don't know, pamper myself, I guess, and just some things that I wouldn't normally. I might watch every time, actually. I've probably watched a couple movies that maybe I just have been wanting to see.
Oh, see, that's my kind of planning for the school year.
So,
there you go.
No, I don't plan the entire time.
Some moms do, and that's great. I mean, I would be wired that way because I love that, but I think I would derail my entire family if I did that, because I'd be like, I'm sorry, that's in pink, I can't erase it, you're going to do that. I don't care if there's a play date, too bad. So I can't do that. I also like to plan after my state homeschool convention.
Yes.
Because I feel like I come home from that so rejuvenated, refreshed with cool, amazing new ideas, mm-hmm. and really just refocused on what it's about, not about the curriculum, but about the Lord and teaching and training our kids. So I would suggest, when you go to your homeschool convention and then I don't know, you're more on fire to plan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I didn't say that. I didn't think to say that. But yes, it has always been after a convention.
Yeah.
That I've done.
Because then you're excited to do it. It's not like something you have to check off your list.
Right. Right.
That was a long answer.
I know. 1 year I did take a friend with me and I said, you can come, but I am not going to talk to you the whole time. She was like, good, because I don't want to talk to you. And we were really good friends. And it was great. Awesome. Like we would meet up for dinner at nighttime, but literally in the morning she would go her way, I would go my way, and we spent the whole day apart, and then we had dinner together, and it was really fun.
I think that's good. And so that's not a question on here, but it should be, is I think that's good advice for homeschool conventions. Let's take a rabbit trail. Like so many people go and feel like they have to sit with their friends and make the same schedule. No way. We all go together and we meet up for dinner. We do the breakfast thing together and we meet up for lunch, but everybody goes, because I don't want to go to how to homeschool a high schooler yet, or maybe I do, or, you know, I don't need to learn. And so that was a rabbit trail, but that is a good idea. Go with your friends and then ignore each other.
Yes. We're all about ignoring people. Okay. Here's the next question. Ooh. And this is a good one, because is one that gets asked about homeschoolers all the time. Mm-hmm. How do we raise social kids? And then she says, how not only to hang out with believers, but make your kids have unbelieving friends. So let's talk about the question of socializing our kids. Abby, I'll let you dig into this one first.
Okay. Well, it's two parts. One, how do we raise social kids? And the second part is how to not only hang out with believers, but make your kids have unbelieving friends. I would say the first thing is you don't need to make your kids have unbelieving friends. I do not believe that that's anything you need to do. And I think a parent's fear is my kids aren't going to be able to relate to non-believing kids. And I want to tell you something. When they're kids and you're raising them, you want to immerse them in God's word and with friends that are like-minded. And they're going to end up in the culture. They're going to end up in the world someday. They are going to end up around unbelievers. So now, in my opinion, is kind of a teaching and training on how to do that. And they don't have to be around unbelievers to learn how to share Christ.
Right. How to function in the world.
That's going to happen. Somebody said to me once, you know, how am I going to teach my kids how to deal with peer pressure if I don't put them in high school so that they're peer pressured? And I said, well, God says if we teach and train them up, they're going to know the way to go.
Right.
So you don't have to, you know, expose them to things that they don't need exposed to in order to learn how to say no. So that one, I would say you don't need to make your kids have unbelieving friends. In fact, you don't need to make your kids have, you know, that's socialization is just being around other people. Homeschooling gives us the best opportunity to give our kids social experiences. Mm-hmm. We can go to the nursing homes and socialize with older people. We can go to church and socialize with younger people. We can socialize with people that are different and alike. You know, nowhere in the world do you see a social system like the public school other than the prison system,
right,
where they put all kids of the exact same class, the exact same age, the exact same everything in one room and then tell them they can only talk during designated times of the day. So how do we raise social kids? You talk with your kids, you socialize with your kids, you take them to grandma and grandpa's, you take them to friends' houses, you take them to church. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's worried that their kids are going to be weird if they're homeschooled. And I say, they're only going to be as weird as you are.
Right.
Like they just are. They are going to be as weird as you are. So yeah. I'm a social person. My kids are going to get socialized because I'm going to drag them around to things. That isn't something you really even need to give some thought to. It's going to happen. And I don't know, that's what I say. But please don't think that you have to socialize your kids with unbelieving friends. Teach and train them up in the way of the Lord.
That's
give
right.
them a passion for Jesus.
Right.
Give them a passion for the lost. And they are naturally going to want to share who the King of Kings is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well said, Abby. And I agree. You know, I think of Psalm 1, and we've talked a lot about this on the podcast before, but Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We don't want our kids to walk in the counsel of the wicked. I mean, the Bible says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the child, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked.
Right.
That said, I am not afraid for my children to socialize with unbelieving children.
Absolutely.
You know, we have many neighbors who are not Christians. We have many, you know, we have friends, you know, we don't seek them out though. But we have, you know, through my children's, through their entire lifetime, we've always had neighbors who are not Christians, and they have different, you know, just different values and morals than we do, different beliefs than we do. And it does give my kids a chance to be able to be a good witness to those kids. You know, my girls will come home and say, you know, my friend said such and such today. How do I respond to that? I don't know exactly what to say. We recently, well, it was not that long ago. Had one of my daughters came to me. She had been out playing with one of the girls who lives nearby us. And she said, you know, she told me that a boy could become a girl if he wanted to, and a girl could become a boy if she wanted to. And she said, I don't know how to answer her. And so we talked about it. And so it really gave her a chance to think through, like, what does God's word say about this? And so it really does provide opportunities, but I don't make it a point to say, go play with that child because they are not a believer.
Right. Yeah. But so you don't make your kids have unbelieving friends. Exactly.
Right. We don't make them have unbelieving friends.
No. In fact, we try to steer them away from that because, you know, corrupt company.
Right. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Bad company corrupts good morals. And so, but I think this social question, and I would actually say go back, and it's not exactly about this, but Misty Bailey's podcast, and we can link to that, about salt and light.
Yep.
It doesn't touch exactly on that, but it really does kind of hit that. I think sometimes we think our kids need to have unbelieving friends because why? Because we want them to be salt and light. Why else would you want your kids to have unbelieving friends? I don't know. But that's really not a kid's got, you know, that was not, that's not in the Bible that kids need to be the salt and light. That's directed to an adult. So, your kids are going to get socialized, you know, you're not locking. I have not yet to meet one homeschool family who locks their family inside the house all the time.
Right.
They're going to be socialized because you're socializing. You're going to church. Sure. They're going to activities.
Right.
It will naturally happen.
It will. Yep.
You know what? I also want to say this. Many people say, oh, homeschoolers are weird. I remember I had some cousins. I'll tell them I said this. And when we were all in middle school, I remember meeting them for the first time and they were weird. And I now see them as adults and I'm like, they are incredible, God-fearing, amazing. And then I looked back at old pictures and I'm like, I was weird in middle school. Like, and I was a public schooler. Like, there's not a middle schooler that's not weird. So, we need to get over that whole thing.
Right.
We are raising adults. So our kids might go through some really socially awkward times, but that's not because of homeschool. That's because kids can be socially awkward.
That's because life.
They're middle schoolers and they're all socially awkward.
Yes, they are. Oh, goodness. Okay. We are out of time for this episode, but we will, I know, time passes quickly when you're having fun. But we will be back on Wednesday to answer a few more questions. And like I said, we would love to answer your questions as well. So please feel free to send them to us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And we would love to answer any questions that you have. So until Wednesday, have a fantastic day. And we will see you back here in a few days. Bye.